Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed Podcast, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 400. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Tool Shed Pod. Got a great guest with me in the Tool Shed this episode. He is a writer at Fantasy Pros and the creator of F Scores, also hosts the Fantasy Ace Ball Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Fantasy Ace Ball. Mr. Tim Kanak joins me. Tim, thanks for joining me, bud. How are you doing?
Of course. I'm doing great. Nice 3-day weekend here with 4th of July. And I never get 3-day weekends because I'm in construction and I own the company. So I always make my guys work. I'm like, work, work, work. But 4th of July, probably not a good idea to be on roofs or up on buildings with fireworks.
Yep.
Don't want to accidentally get smashed by some firework that explodes while you're working on a roof. So I think it's probably a good call for me to take the day off, let everybody chill. So 3-day weekend, first time in a long time, had fun, went to the beach, and I am looking forward to next week because we've got a draft coming up. Man, I'm going to next week is going to be crazy. So I'm looking forward to next weekend.
Oh yeah. It's always, the draft's always fun. And it's always great to, especially those of us that do like prospect rankings, you get that fresh batch of new players to insert. And that's always fun trying to figure out, you know, where to put them among the guys that have already been there. So yeah, that first prospect rankings update after the draft is always really, really fun to kind of put together. And yeah, that's coming up in, about a week or now. We get the draft in a week, and then we get the All-Star break, take a little step back for a few days. But the world of prospects and dynasty never ends, and obviously never ends on this show. But we got a lot of fun players to talk about today. Got several kind of fun prospect promotions over the last several days, some intriguing young hitters on the rise right now, and we'll end it with some outfield prospect discussion because, you know, I just recently updated my prospect rankings, and Tim recently was posting on Twitter or X about some of his outfield prospect rankings. We got a few interesting names here to talk about that are pretty polarizing names. So let's get right into it. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review wherever you listen. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners. Import your leagues with TeamSync and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with Rotoballer's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our Premium Pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code Toolshed at checkout. All right, let's start with the prospect promotions over the last week. First one up here, we got Colson Montgomery of the Chicago White Sox. You know, one of their top prospects for the last couple of years now, was drafted in the first round back in 2021. But, you know, lost a little bit of the prospect shine here over the last year or two. Had a good year back in 2022 and 2023. But 2024 only slashed 214, 329, 381. That really kind of let out a little bit of the air from the sail, so to speak. And then this year so far in 55 AAA games was slashing 218, 298, 435, 10 doubles, 11 home runs, 19 walks to 82 strikeouts for AAA Charlotte. He's gotten actually three hits his first couple of games here with the White Sox, but he's a guy that I see a lot of varying opinions on, varying rankings on. So, Tim, where do you fall on Colson Montgomery? You think he's going to be an impact player, or are you a little more reserved like I am?
Oh, I'm more reserved. I had him probably a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. I had him in the top 50, 60, whatever. And I ended up moving him completely out of my top 150 prospect rankings just because I'm just like, okay, this guy, the hit tool is not all there. Too many Ks. Yeah, he's got really good EVs, right? But he also has injuries, so I don't really know what to expect from him. I mean, he's 5-for-11 so far, so people are going to be like, oh, yeah, look how great Colson Montgomery is. Like, the non-prospect people are going to be spending a lot of – we're just talking about how we have Fab later because we're recording on Sunday. So it's like all the non-prospect people who are just, trying to get in on, oh, look at this rookie now, 5-for-11. Like, he's going to be really good. Colson Montgomery, I've heard that name before. Those are the types that are going to be in on him. But I am probably not going to be everyone when he came up was like, oh, this guy's going to be Corey Seager. Yeah. Big lefty, whatever. But I never really saw that. My F scores kind of had him more in a Carlos Correa type level. And it kind of makes sense too, with all the injuries that he's had is Carlos Correa esque, where he's okay, he's going to walk a little, maybe he'll strike out a little too much. Maybe the hits will never really be there and the power will not really develop to what it could be, kind of like Carlos Correa, right? What's he capped at? 24, 25 homers is what he's hit. But when he first came up, everyone's like, oh, this guy's going to be a 30, 35 homer shortstop. He's going to be a stud. So I think Colson Montgomery kind of falls in that Carlos Correa type territory. Obviously, he doesn't have the elite Carlos Correa defense, but to fall back on. But I think that you could probably expect long-term, he'll probably hit somewhere between 230 to 260 and get high teens to 25 homers pretty consistently through his peak.
Yeah, I've never been, in the highest on Montgomery. I think people that have followed my work, both written and on here, probably know that at this point. I never thought he was a bad prospect, but yeah, I just never saw the super high impact guy that I think some people thought he could be. I mean, it's a solid blend of hit and power. He had 84% zone, around 72% overall contact rates in AAA this year. In the power, it's going to tick down a little bit. Maybe some of the injuries have played a role in that, but it's good, but not great power. So yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I think he's, a 20 homer guy, give or take, hitting 250 or so, something like that. And you should get plenty of run with the White Sox. Obviously, they don't really have a lot of other options to take a spot unless he absolutely, bombs in the majors, though he's off to a pretty solid start. But yeah, I think this, maybe he gets, down the road when he gets settled in, maybe he's a back end top 200 fantasy guy. I don't really see him rising above being a mid pack, middle infield, type guy for your fantasy teams. I mean, again, he's solid, but since he's a, shortstop that doesn't provide really any speed and really never will. I mean, he had eight steals last year. Don't really see that, being the case again. I mean, he had two steals this year in AAA in 55 games. I think he's more like a guy who'll give you a 3-4, just a rogue steal here and there. Never really showed that willingness to run. He's not really a fast guy either. More of that, big bodied shortstop, like you mentioned. So yeah, I'm not super high on him. He's around, where do I have him overall right now? Let's see here. I have Montgomery. Yeah, 157. I knew he was around 150 or We're selling. He's in the similar range for like middle infielders. Let's see who's in there. Like How You Lee with Detroit is in that range for me. Tommy Troy, Sam Antonacci, and guys like that. You know, Yairo Padilla, Adiel Almirdo's down there now too. So yeah, he's fine, but I'm just not like super intrigued by him at all. Next guy here though, Colby Thomas. I've had him top 100 for a bit now, and he's another guy that I think people are pretty split on. Just given some of the, you know, the hit tool concerns that people might have, but this guy's an extra base hit machine. He led the minor leagues last year with 80 extra base hits, 44 doubles, 5 triples, 31 dingers. He also had 15 steals, 277, 342, 563 slash line in 132 games between AA and AAA. This year, 297, 365, 542, 17 home runs, 21 doubles. Again, he's pretty high up there in extra base hits. I'm not sure if he was still leading that or not, but he was like top 5 last time I looked. Also 7 steals here, and only one for 10 in his first 4 games with the Athletics, but definitely a fun little power speed blend there for Colby Thomas. What are your thoughts on him, Tim?
I've been like the big Colby Thomas guy for a while. I talked a lot about Colby Thomas last year on Prospect One. I've got him top 60. I've got him at 57 right now, and yeah, there's strikeout concerns, and he has, like, if you're just looking at profile, you're looking at the back of the baseball card stats, you might say, oh, Colson Montgomery and Colby Thomas have some of the same problems. Like, they've got some of the same good things, and they've got some of the same problems. They both have, like, 115 max EVs, whatever, whatever. But the difference is Colby Thomas is a lot more consistent with his power. So he's actually getting into his power a lot more consistently than Colson Montgomery, 105, 90th EV. And one of the things that I love about Colby Thomas is he is a free swinger. He is so aggressive in zone, and he's a free swinger in a good way, right? He's not chasing overly aggressively, but in zone, he's got a 75% swing rate. So a 75% zone swing rate with an 85% zone contact rate when you're hitting the ball 105, 90th percentile with a 115.9 max EV. Yeah, that'll play. He barreled in the minors 10.5% of the time. So this is a guy who really gets into it, and he has good angles. Like Colson Montgomery, if you look at his launch angle distribution, it's all over the place. It's from like negative whatever, like it's, and it's just like across the board. There's like no consistency whatsoever. Where Colby Thomas is constantly hitting the ball. Like if you look at a bar graph of his launch angles, he's consistently hitting the ball between like 5 to 25 degrees, like a lot. So that's exactly where you want him to hit. And that's why he has so many extra base hits, 40 extra base hits before the call-up. Last year, he led the minors in extra base hits, and he was doing it again this year before the call-up. So yeah, I'm in on Colby Thomas. There could be some volatility here. It's a high-risk profile with the Ks, but I think he's going to get into it. My comp for him is kind of like an Adolis Garcia type. Like that's what you hope for when you're buying him, is like, okay, I know I might not get the most consistent guy. There might be a lot of Ks. There might be like some batting average, bad weeks or whatever. But as long as he's going to hit a bunch of bombs and steal some bags while he's at it, then like that's what you'll probably be getting with Colby Thomas, especially in that ballpark.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah, Adolis comp a good bit. Yeah, because you know Adolis is fun, but you know, as we anyone that's rostered Adolis, you know he can be kind of going those cold stretches and be kind of maddening to roster at times. Yeah, I think Thomas. I don't think he's gonna be like a super high batting average source. Like you see that 297 last year. I know this year, excuse me, 277 last year, 286 year before that. He's hit for good averages throughout the minors. I don't see him being like a 280 plus guy. I think more like 250 to 260. Would be the sweet spot there, but you know it's above average power. But like you mentioned, you know he gets to it in games due to the angles he hits the ball at. He's never gonna be one of those guys that wows you on the Savant page. But you know he had a EV right around 90 miles an hour, 41.5% hard hit rate, 10% barrel rate. So it's above average power, and it'll probably give you, you know, I think it'll be a guy that's like you know low to mid teen steals as well. So if you're getting you know, potential for like 20, 25 home runs, double digit steal, like 20 plus, 10 plus, you know, you can live with a 250 average. And I think the context skills are there where he won't like crater down to be like 210. Maybe he will, but I'm not like super worried about that. So in terms of, you know, between Thomas and Montgomery, you know, long-term, I definitely prefer Thomas. Even short-term, I would go Thomas though. You know, you can make a case for Montgomery in the short-term just because, you know, there's, I think there's a clear path that everyday playing time for the rest of this season for Montgomery as opposed to Thomas. But you know, long term, I'm definitely more of a Colby Thomas guy than a Colson Montgomery guy. Next one here, one more hitter and one more pitcher, and I got promoted this week. We're going Yankiel Fernandez with the Colorado Rockies. I got that some called, you know, kind of like a baby Yordan back in the day. I was never, that's why I hate, you know, comps in general, especially for young prospects like that. When he was like 18, they're like, oh, he's the next Yordan. I'm like, all right, let's calm down here. But, you know, the power is definitely solid with Fernandez, and he's definitely a bit of a free swinger in his own right. This year, 284, 347, 502 slash line with AAA Albuquerque in 64 games, 14 doubles, 13 home runs. You know, hasn't stolen a bag in the last couple of years. So he had one last year, but this is definitely a guy that will need the bat to be there for him to be, you know, a impactful fantasy contributor. But, you know, I definitely think it could. I mean, and it helps that obviously he's got, you know, Colorado, Coors Field to call home here, you know, for the foreseeable future. So this could be a guy that, you know, could become a pretty solid offensive outfielder. You know, the power wasn't like great this year. It definitely has ticked down. It's 88 mile an hour average EV, 37% hard hit rate, and, you know, barrel rate a little under 9%. Had been higher in previous years, but still a solid power bat. Contact skills are decent enough, 74% overall. It's not like too much whiff in the profile as well. And he's done a better job of, you know, walking, you know, like higher walk rate this year, cut the K rate as well. So some of these like small gains in terms of approach and contact this year, which are definitely encouraging. So I don't have him top 100 right now, but he's in like that 125 to 150 range for me. Where are you at on Yankiel Fernandez, Tim?
Yeah, I'm right in like the 150 to 175 range. He did not make my last top 150 ranking update, though he has been on the list over the last couple of years. Obviously, like it's kind of funny because he's only 22 years old, but he's been around for a minute. So there's right. been like prospect fatigue on him already, even though he's only 22. And if you are in the stock market of prospecting, he had three home runs in the previous four games before he got called up. So he's hot. If you believe in hot, he's hot with a run in RBI today, and he's going to be in Colorado. So you could try to pick him up, see if he catches steam for a couple weeks. And if you don't really believe in him, at least hopefully you get lucky. He's hot and you can resell him. But long-term with Yankiel, at least for now, his splits, he destroys righties. And he's terrible against lefties. So if you are in a daily league, this is the league type of league that I'd be picking up Yankiel in. Any daily league, and then just put him against righties. He's a lefty outfield hitter. And against righties this year at AAA, 310, 379, 567 slash with 11 of his 13 bombs. Against lefties, he only hit 222, 263, 347. So significantly worse, like 200 plus slug difference against lefties than against righties. So while, you know, he has a, you know, launch angle and EV distribution that is a little more consistent than Colson Montgomery, it is not quite Colby Thomas. So I'd probably picking both of those guys up before Yankiel, but Yankiel is a little under the radar here because he was hot. You might be able to get a little sizzle on some value with him short term and longer term daily leagues. If you can just play him against righties and you have the bench spots for that, then like that's a good play, I think, for deeper leagues where you have enough bench spots that you can play matchups.
So how do you have long-term for Dynasty? How do you have these three guys ranked? Fernandez, Montgomery, and Thomas.
Oh, Thomas. I've got Montgomery and Fernandez like basically like back-to-back in my rankings right now.
Okay.
Probably go Montgomery just because I see him as a more steady option. He's going to get a lot more playing time long-term. He's got a good glove, so he'll play a lot. Where Yankiel, like I said, I think there's definitely like platoon risk here. So I mean, if I'm the Rockies, I would platoon them. They've got so many outfielders in that org. So to me, like that's like future platoon DH type or something like that. So I mean, he's a lefty too. So I, like definitely that's the order I'm going is Thomas, Montgomery, Yankiel.
So yeah, I definitely go Thomas first, and I also have Montgomery and Fernandez close. Right now I have Fernandez about 10 spots higher, but I can make a case going either way with those two. I don't want to, you know, have a strong lean either way there. One more here over to the pitching side. And you know, Yankees have had a lot of notable like, rises on the pitching side this year. Usually they, you know, they have a lot of guys on the rise on the hitting side for in terms of prospects. But this year, definitely been the pitching side. And the one that's kind of popped off more recently is Cam Schlittler, who will get his major league debut on, I believe it's Tuesday, he'll be making his debut. Seventh rounder in 2022 out of Northeastern, so a Northeast guy. That's in Boston, Massachusetts. And he was having a really good year down in the upper minors here. Between AA and AAA, he had 76 and two-thirds innings with a 2.82 ERA, you know, FIP of 2.52, xFIP of 2.69, so those are right in line with that ERA. Whip, a little bit higher, 1.21, but not terrible. 8.4% walk rate and a 31.9% K rate. He had really been rolling. The last outing he had in AAA before he got called up, he allowed six earned, and I believe it was like 2 1/3. But before that, he had ERA around one in his previous like five or six starts. So definitely was pitching very, very well. So that one blow up, and really has been pitching well the entire season. Really deep arsenal, you know, two potential above average to plus pitches with fastball, good sweeper as well. Also mix in, you know, a harder slider, curveball, and the changeup as well. And really the bread and butter is that fastball and sweeper and solid command and control as well. I mean, I'm not like wowed by Schlittler, but, you know, I think this is definitely a major league starter for sure. Like that SP4 type of guy. He's a little bit older too, so I think you can get him in a dynasty league for a pretty reasonable price tag just because he's, you know, the older prospect. And, you know, wasn't really super highly ranked up until recently. He's still like a top 100 guy for many people. But I think there's some sneaky value to be had here. I'm not sure, you know, how much of an impact we see from Schlittler this season. And who knows how long he's up. The Yankees obviously are dealing with some injury issues with Clark Schmidt now needing Tommy John surgery as well. So they're kind of scrambling. So maybe he does get some run here. But, Tim, what are your thoughts on Cam Schlittler, both, you know, for this year and long term?
I like him. Last ranking update, he ended up like right outside of my top 150. I was trying to like push pitchers down a little bit and hitters up a little more just because of the whole pitching injury thing. And it's just like, oh, you just get so sick of you have so many prospect pitchers that get hurt. It's like, oh, you get sick of it a little bit. So like I started moving some of my pitchers down a little bit from where I normally had them. But the repertoire is really good. Unfortunate name if you're a podcaster because you have to like watch it every single time. You're like, am I gonna say something bad here, or am I going to like or if you're a jokester like Doc and I are on our podcast, a little bit of a prankster, you can make some mustache jokes from our German buddy. But anyway, Cam Schlittler, just like really good stuff, like really fun stuff too. But it's just a matter of like, is it going to be too hittable? Because all his stuff is really fast, and it's like, is there enough of a difference here that it's not going to be hittable? Because he does have some issues of like getting barreled up pretty good. But his four seamer has a 21% swing strike rate on it, which is insane. And he can top out at 99 on that pitch. So like I grade it roughly as like a 60-65 fastball, just cause it doesn't have a lot of IVB, like the break on it. It's only got 16 inches of rise. So it's like for 99, it's like, that's okay. Right. It's like not a lot of movement, but for whatever reason, 21% swing strike rate. So guys are still missing at it is he has good command of it because he throws it for strikes almost 62% of the time. So he's very, very, very good command of that four seamer, which is how he's getting those swings and misses on it. Slider, you're going to love a slider that's playing in the 90s. Like Eno always talks about the break even of a slider being around 85 miles an hour. It's like a good slider. If it's 85, it's going to be a good slider. This guy's throwing a slider like 91, 92 miles an hour. So I think it's going to be a good slider. Like you could almost classify that as a cutter because it's so hard. And then he's also got the sweeper on top of it. And he's throwing the sweeper even 87, 88 miles an hour. So these are all great pitches. It's just like, is he going to avoid bad contact? Is he going to be able to have something else too, like the curveball or the changeup work well enough in that arsenal? Because the curveball and the changeup are kind of like meh. So it's like, okay, if he can get those to work against fastball, sweeper, slider, so that he has something that breaks the other way or moves in a different way, I think he could be really good. But if he can't figure that out, then that's going to probably be like home run issues once he gets up, especially in Yankee Stadium. But if it makes you feel good, he has no split concerns. And my buddy John Anderson, on his thing, he has Sierra for minor leaguers. And his JAERA, which is Sierra, basically is a 247 for Schlittler. So 247 Sierra is going to play all day.
Yeah, no, absolutely will. Like I said, all the you know, expected ERA metrics, like I mentioned, the FIP xFIP, you know, everything is pretty much right in line with what he's doing. So yeah, I don't think there's a lot of, you know, flukiness in the season this year. But yeah, just another really good breakout arm this year for the New York Yankees. And I'll just pull up my Yankee prospect rankings. And, you know, you got the two bats at the top with Lombard and Spencer Jones, but that's a massive, you know, cluster of arms. You got Schlittler, you got Carlos LaGrange, you got Bryce Cunningham, Elmer Rodriguez, Cruz. You know, those are really the four. And you got Hampton, who's hurt, and Henry Lolani, who's hurt as well, but Ben Hess as well. But those first four I mentioned are kind of like the four that have really taken a step forward. And they're all in my top 200 now, all between 140 and 200 and 190, actually. And I have Schlittler at 182 in my July update. So yeah, definitely think there's a solid major league arm there, but not like a, you know, impact guy, but definitely someone I think could be a fantasy viable arm for sure. All right, let's move over to some young hitters on the rise right now, and we'll start with Cam Smith, who made a little bit of a stance change recently, and I want to, you know, pull up a tweet here from Mr. Chris Clegg, who detailed it a couple days ago, that in mid-May was when Smith made the change. He says, Cam Smith made a swing change in mid-May and has thrived. The stance is now more open, and he's deeper in the box. He's letting the ball travel, and his intercept point is 2.5 inches closer to home plate. You know, since then, you've seen the EV jump from 85.7 to 91.6. Hard hit rate's gone up 13% to now up to over 50%. And, you know, more zone contact, more overall contact. So just a lot of, you know, good stuff there for Cam Smith. And he's look at, you know, the surface stats still might underwhelm a little bit, you know, 7 home runs, 4 steals, but he's now hitting 286 with a 351 OBP, and that slug is on the rise too, up to 435. Hit over 300 in both May and June, and so far in July. So yeah, it's just been 3 really good months here of production for Cam Smith, and still only 22 years old, and didn't have a lot of time in the minor leagues too. So I think Cam Smith is still a good buy right now in dynasty leagues. I think you could see him really get into that top 100 overall dynasty ranking discussion pretty soon here if this continues, probably by the end of the season. So yeah, I'm definitely, you know, looking to buy Cam Smith right now and definitely believing in what happened, because it was a tangible change, as it was pointed out by Chris Clegg in that tweet a few days ago. So I'm buying. Are you buying as well, Tim?
Yeah, I am. So I actually noticed he took a few days off when he did the swing change too. There's like a couple games he didn't play. And so he, like, June 8th was the day that he like came back and started playing. And that covers like the last 25 games more or less, but 366, 407, 574 slash with 12 extra base hits during that span with 4 home runs, 12 extra base hits, 25 games. Come on. As an extra base hit every other game is excellent. One of the things too that I've noticed since he has made this change is he's been also more aggressive in the zone. So his zone swing rate since this time is up at 73-74%, whereas before he was down at like 66%. So he's being more aggressive in the zone with this swing change on top of it. Probably that has to do with confidence too, right? Like, he changes swing, it's working. He's hitting a bunch of extra base hits. You're going to get more confident, and then you're going to get more happy with the pitches that you're seeing, and you're going to be a little more confident with some of those pitches coming in the zone. So I agree with you. This is a buy right now. I can't believe there's actually a lot more room for power here. He still is only barreling like 7% of the time. He could barrel a lot more. He's in Houston, where you've got the Crawford boxes. Like, there's still so much power potential here. Like, even if you buy now, you're not buying high. You're buying on all, it's still, this roller coaster is still like halfway up the slope. It's like not at the top yet. It's still halfway up. You're like, okay, when is this roller coaster going to drop? You still got a lot of way up. So I'd say buy now if you can.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. I mean, like I said, the value definitely is higher now than it was like a month ago. So, you know, I think that was like the peak low point of his, you know, dynasty value, at least right now. But yeah, I think it could still go up even more. I mean, he's definitely trending up right now. And he's one of just a few guys that have both a sprint speed and a, you know, bat speed percentile of 85th percentile or higher. 87th percentile bat speed, 92nd percentile sprint speed. I mean, that's kind of like the stinky part of his game where he's a good athlete too. I mean, he hits the ball hard and everyone knows him for his bat, but yeah, I think there's a potential for, I don't think he's gonna be like a 20 plus steal guy, but maybe he's, you know, gives you some double digit steal years as well. And I think you could be 25 plus home runs, you know, with a solid average and OBP as well. I mean, the approach is pretty solid at the plate and it's getting there. You know, the K rate and walk rate don't look overly great right now. It's, you know, they're not terrible either, right around 27% K, 8% walk, but definitely both trending in the right direction. You know, and he hits all pitches well. There's not like one pitch he has a big issue with right now either. Maybe a little bit with breaking balls, but nothing too concerning. So yeah, I'm definitely, you know, buying in here. We could have like a 25-10 type of guy hitting 270, 280, you know, 350, 360 OBP. Yeah, I think this could be a top 100 guy pretty darn soon. So definitely still some time to buy on Cam Smith. I'll keep it right in the National League West with the always fun, always polarizing Joe Adell, who's still only 26 years old. It feels like Joe Adell should be like pushing 30 at this point, but still 26 years old. You know, started to, you know, giving some value, you know, to fantasy managers last year. You know, the second half of the season, you know, overall he hit 207, but he had 20 home runs, 15 steals, had a better second half than the first half. And then this year, he's not really running as much, only 3 steals, but 19 home runs in 298 plate appearances, 248, 323, 500 slash line. Just recently had a 15-game hitting streak, which I never thought I would say about Joe Adell. So where are you at on Joe Adell here, Tim? Obviously, one of the more fun players in the game, but really maddening as well. Where are you at on him right now? Are you believing in this finally, or are you just, have you been burned too many times to believe?
Well, maddening is right. I was in on him so long ago, and it's just like I don't have him anywhere now.
I've been so
in on him like years ago, and now it's like, okay, I'm done. And then here it is finally. But that's just what happens. That's part of the game. Sometimes you gotta wait, and you've gotta wait, you've gotta wait, and then it's just like never give up. I mean, the guy's still 26. This is supposed to be his peak, right? Like these guys are supposed to peak. The hitters are supposed to peak 26, 27, 28. So we're seeing it right now from him. I buy what he's doing and what he's become. I think the underlying metrics fully support everything that he's doing right now. So I buy that, but am I going to buy him in Dynasty? No, I think that this is his peak. I think what he's doing right now is literally his peak. Since June 1st, he's hitting 304, 378, 652 with a 7% walk rate, 22% K rate, 15 extra base hits with 12 of them being bombs. Is he going to put up another month like that? I don't know. And a lot of people, when they're making trades, they're going to search last 30. So I think that if you wanted to, if you struck it rich on Joe Adell, you got him early, you got him really cheap in your league, and you can sell him for a really good long-term asset, I think now is the time to do it, because I think that you're selling at the peak. Like you're selling at the top of this performance, because I don't think it's going to get better from here. Can it be the same? Can he keep doing this for another couple of years? Maybe. Like, could we have like a Chris Davis, Jorge Soler type guy for the next couple of years? Yeah, I think so. But like, am I going to buy him getting better than this? No. I think this is the best you're going to get. So you might as well sell while you can.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wrote recently, that, you know, I'm believing in what we're seeing, but is there that next level? That's the part where, yeah, I'm not sure about that either. Like, can Joe Adell be an annual top 100 guy? You know, maybe he can have some years where he's top 100 or, you know, top 150, something like that. But can he be consistent enough? I mean, he's made some gains, you know, in the contact and strikeout rates. His zone is now up to 81% zone contact, overall contact a little over 71%. Those are still below average marks. But, you know, this is a guy that was, you know, 2022, 2023, was like around 70 to 72% zone and like 64, 66% overall. So definitely much improved there. And those were not going to get it done. And we saw that with how, you know, inconsistent his production was. Now he's becoming a little more consistent and, you know, maybe he even flirts with 40 home runs this year. He also hits the ball at ideal angles. He's got a 19.9% pull error rate. You know, X slug is actually even higher. He's 585 X slug. And you're trimming that K rate from being in the upper 30s to even 40% down to 23.2. So, yeah, I think you could see like a 240, 30, 35 home run type of guy. So, yeah, I think Jorge Soler is actually a really good name to mention there. That's kind of what Soler was for a few years. But, you know, with Adele, though, he's one where I'm okay selling or holding, honestly, because if like you mentioned, if you want to sell him now because he's hot and he's a hot name, then, yeah, I'm not opposed to that. But if you also have him and you probably either A, acquired him way back for when he was, you know, had a lot of shine and you don't want to give up on him, which I get. And then, or the other way, you bought low on him. So now you're like, all right, this has been, you know, a positive ROI so far. And you want to keep riding it out. I'm fine with that too. So like, I can see, you know, going multiple avenues here with Joe Adele, but yeah.
Here's a fun one for you. Yeah. Would you trade Joe Adele for Jack Caglione in a dynasty league?
I think I would. Yeah, I think I would prefer Cags long term, but you know, yeah. Cags has, you know, that obviously the higher chase rates and but also mammoth power. That's, you know, maybe one of the five best power hitters in the game potential. So yeah, I see some similarities here where it could be, you know, maybe Jack's a lower average guy, even though his contact skills have been decent, just the high chase rate. But yeah, he could be one of those polarizing guys too. That definitely is a potential outcome for Jack, but yeah, I see that trade being made in the fantasy league right now. You know, Adele for Jack. Maybe someone's not fully believing in Jack and, you know, worried about that high chase rate he had in college and the minors. Yeah, I can see that deal being made. That's a pretty fun one. But yeah, Joe Adele. I don't have any shares either of Joe Adele. Maybe I'll see if I can get one. But he's not one where I'm like rushing out to get. But it's just fun to see him, you know, hitting bombs again like we all thought he could.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Next one here, not quite as flashy, but definitely, you know, producing very well right now, and that's Michael Busch. You know, 27 years old. You know, he didn't debut till he was 25 because of the Dodgers, but since he's gotten to the Cubs, you know, had a good year last year. 21 bombs, 248, 335, 440 slash, you know, 73 runs. Pretty solid year, nothing spectacular. But this year, up to 18 home runs. He's been on a little home run barrage lately, had a three-homer game, and then a home run the very next day. So got a handful of bombs the last few days. 18 home runs with a 293, 377, 562 slash line this year. You know, out of those, you know, all those like first base breakouts earlier in the year, you know, the Aranda, Soderstrom, Torque, you know, a lot of them have kind of fizzled out a little bit, you know, to some degree. You know, Aranda hasn't, but Michael Busch has been just really steady the entire season. You know, he's had the best quality of contact metrics of his career, 15% barrel, run a 47% hard hit rate. He's trimmed the K rate by about 6% from 28.6 to 22.7. You know, more zone contact, up 84% there, 76% overall. Both of those are above average. You know, he's a better than league average chase rate guy too. So right now he's showing above average contact, above average power, And another guy that has, you know, a higher pull air rate at 22.4%. You know, he kind of gets overlooked by, you know, all the other big bats. You know, obviously Tucker's beasting out, PCA is beasting out, you know, Seiya Suzuki's hitting bombs there. But Bush has been really steady good this year. And I'm buying it. He's only 27 years old, you know, hitting in a good lineup and a good park. Yeah, I think you could see Bush being, you know, a top 10 fantasy first baseman, you know, for the next, you know, half decade or so. What are your thoughts here on Michael Bush, Tim?
Yeah, I buy, like, to an extent what he's doing. I think he's definitely overperforming even the underlying metrics, though. Since June 1st, 356, 420, 733 slash with 11 bombs and 15 extra base hits. So usually when I see that, I'm like, okay, the majority of the extra base hits are home runs. You know that the guy is probably on one. 17.5% barrel rate, 33.3% home run to fly ball rate over this time. But the thing is, like, he's still hitting the ball really well. He has a 90.2% zone contact rate over this time, 70% zone swing. So he's performing really well. I just think that he's still in a little over his head. So if you didn't believe in what Michael Bush is doing and you don't think that he's this good, I think just like Joe Adell, I think this is the time to sell, even though I think he's still good. Like, he's definitely better than he was last year. I just don't know if he's this good. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's a solid player in at 280. I think he's probably going to settle in more as like a 25 home run guy than what he's pacing now, which is, you know, low 30s or whatever. So I just think that, like, when you put him against like a Josh Naylor, there's like a lot of these guys that are kind of like very similar ultimately on what they can do, like Josh Naylor, Michael Bush. Now you've got Aranda doing like the same thing. Aranda and Bush are like mirror images of each other in separate leagues. So it's like you've got all these guys that are kind of similar. So I just think that, like, if you have the opportunity to sell high and someone thinks that Bush is a 35 homer guy or something now, then sell. But if not, then just hold, because I do believe that what he's going to, I believe he's good. I just don't know, you know, if he's, I don't think he's a superstar. I just think he's a good player. Right.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah. I don't think he's a stud either. You know, I've always been, you know, a Michael Bush guy, dating back to his prospect days and, you know, coming up through the Dodgers org. But, you know, even I think, you know, more of a, and I think I'm one of the higher ones around on Michael Bush, but, you know, I'm not saying, I don't think he's gonna be like a top five first baseman or anything like that, but I think back in top 10, you know, and he'd be a guy that I would be okay with him as my, you know, starting first baseman. And I would like love him as like my corner infielder type thing, but yeah, definitely, you know, mashing right now. So good to see him finally get going here and be the guy that I kind of thought he could be. Last name here for the kind of rising young hitter part of this show, Evan Carter, finally back to doing Evan Carter type things. 283, 372, 434 slash line this year, 4 home runs and 11 steals in 121 plate appearances. You know, it obviously took the, you know, major league storm, you know, by storm late in 2023 with Texas's run to the World Series and was, you know, shining on the brightest stage. In the last year, limited to 162 plate appearances, had the back issues, wasn't good when he was out there. Yeah, so kind of, you know, all that helium and shine on the profile kind of got dulled as quickly as it rose last year, given all the issues both on and off the field for Carter. But back to being a fun player, you know, kind of still an interesting profile here, Tim. But where do you land on Evan Carter? Still only 22 years old, you know, fun profile, but an interesting one. Where do you kind of land on Carter?
I think it depends on the type of league you're in. So he came back on June 3rd from his injury, and since then he's hit 329, 417, 507. But that's also been boosted by a 362 BABIP during that time span. But he also has 3 home runs and 8 steals during that time span. 5 of those steals were in the last 3 games. And during this entire time span, do you know how many at-bats he's had against lefties?
Probably not a lot.
8. 8 at-bats, yep, against lefties. So if you're in a weekly league, I want nothing to do with Evan Carter, because you're going to lose 2 games a week out of him. If you're in like a weekly roto league or something like that. Now, if you're in a daily league and you're playing points or you're playing OBP, sure, I'll take Evan Carter against righties all day in an OBP or a points league. But it's just so league dependent with Evan Carter on whether if I want him or if I don't want him. Weekly league, I don't want to touch it at all because he's just not going to play against lefties. It's an accident when he plays against lefties. So that's kind of where I'm at Evan Carter, just completely league dependent because like most teams, if you have a 22-year-old stud, you're going to try him against lefties, and the Rangers have never even tried, right? So it's like, and if they haven't tried yet, they're not going to try at all. Like there's nothing's going to change unless they clear out management and Chris Young goes bye-bye. He goes to the Nationals or whatever now that, you know, Rizzo and those guys are gone. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't think anything is going to change here in the next few years. So I am probably just going to have this stance on Evan Carter.
Yeah. And that's definitely fair. I mean, I'm lukewarm on Carter. I mean, he's a good athlete, a 91st percentile sprint speed. He's a good outfielder. He gets on base at a good click. He's back to walking a bit more than he did last year. K rate's back down. You know, chase rate's always been super low. But still, he's not really hitting the ball super hard. I mean, he gets helped out by, you know, he gets to, you know, he pulls at a solid clip. And he also gets the ball in the air at a decent clip as well. So that kind of helps him maximize the power to some degree, you know, more than, you know, the 86.8 mile an hour average EV and 33% hard hit rate would indicate. But I don't know. I mean, he's a move up in my July dynasty rankings, which I'm working on finishing up right now. Probably be out on Tuesday, I'm guessing. So he'll move back up a bit, but I'm not sure I'm, you know, rushing out to target him and try to trade low. So I still have my concerns, and you know, some of those concerns are his back issues that he's had. I've said it many times on this podcast before. That still concerns me. Yeah, he looks to be healthy now, which is great. You know, Texas definitely needs him. They've been pretty underwhelming offense overall this year, despite all the good names they have in that lineup. But I'm not, you know, I'm still concerned about Carter. I don't know, does the power ever get to the point where he can be a 20 homer guy, or is he more like a 10 to 15 homer guy? I mean, I think there's still some value to be had here. I'm not saying he's not going to be, you know, fantasy viable, but you know, I'm still not sure he becomes the guy we thought he could be. So I don't know. I guess it would depend on the cost. If I can get him for cheap right now, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But again, I'm not like going out and targeting Evan Carter right now either.
Yeah, no, you're not Mr. Comp, but fun comp I threw on Evan Carter years ago is Shin-Soo Choo.
Which is, I haven't thought about that name in a minute.
As basically like what he is, except he's not even playing against lefties. That's the whole difference, because he was also not good against lefties, but he at least got PT against them.
Right.
But if you just take Shin-Soo Choo, but then you're just like, you're not even going to play against lefties. That's basically what he's doing.
When did Choo, I have not thought about Choo in a bit. When did Choo retire? Oh, he retired in 2020, age 37. Yeah, he was with Texas for the last 7 years. Yeah, you know, Choo was, you know, that's a name as he was a solid name. I mean, he's a guy where I don't know if you've seen I know they're on Instagram and stuff too, but I really only see them on Twitter. The Hall of Pretty Good. Have you seen that account, Tim?
Yeah, yeah.
which I think is a really fun concept. Actually, this guy's from, I actually saw him at the New Hampshire Fisher Cats game when I was up there seeing Trader Savage and Watts Brown a few weeks ago. So I think he's in that New Hampshire or New England area up near me. It looks like he's like a, you know, mid to late 20s guy, but I think that's a really fun concept. So I think Choo would be a great, you know, Hall of Pretty Good guy. He had 218 career home runs, 157 steals, hit .275, .377 OBP, you know, played 1,600 games, 34.5 WAR. That's a pretty solid career there from Choo.
Yeah, for sure. Choo is good. He's one of those guys that you get in like round 6 or 8, real sneaky, and then is just adding value to your team. So I think that's what Evan Carter could be. You know, once he gets his prime, it's just, like I said, just he's not playing against lefties. So if you're in a weekly leagues, that's just going to kill you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely a big concern there. Choo actually played up until last year over in Korea. He had 4 more years in Korea up until last year. He finally retired for good. So yeah, good career for Shin-Soo Choo. All right, a little trip down memory lane there. Let's go back to some outfield prospects here. We got 4 really intriguing names here, starting with Dylan Beavers of the Baltimore Orioles, 23 years old in AAA right now. Got up to AAA last year for a cup of coffee, but most of last year was in AA. And he had 15 home runs, 31 steals last year. This year in 65 games so far, a .319, .407, .504 slash line. 10 doubles, 10 home runs, 19 steals, only been caught four times. You know, and last year only was caught three times in 34 attempts, 37 walks to 49 strikeouts. I feel like Beavers is becoming, you know, one of the more underrated outfield prospects in the game right now, Tim, because you know, he's never been like the super sexy, buzzy prospect name, you know, especially in that Baltimore system where there was the Jackson Holidays and the Kobe Mayos, you know, so many names like that that are bigger names than him over the last couple of years, that he kind of has flown under the radar despite having some pretty solid numbers year in, year out. And now he's on the cusp of getting to the major leagues. Who knows when we see him in Baltimore? I mean, obviously Baltimore's, you know, been, you know, not really pushing their guys too hard recently and letting them get a lot of time in AAA. So you kind of got to wonder, when do we see Dylan Beavers? But I think there's a really sneaky good profile here. And you know, he's a guy that I think is in top 50 consideration. And I saw you had him ranked as your, what was it? Yeah, your 11th outfield prospect. And I think he's in your image here. Yeah, 58 overall. So I think you and I are pretty, you know, similar line of thinking here with Dylan Beavers.
Yeah, he's underrated. This is like a, he's really like a really good sneaky value right now, because I think people are just like burned out on the Orioles and their shenanigans with like all their depth, and just everyone's like, everything the Orioles do is the wrong move. They're messing up Kobe Mayo and they didn't get in a pitcher. And then now look at Stowers over on the Marlins. And it's like, so everything the Orioles do right now is like bad. But Dylan Beavers has made significant strides year over year, and he deserves to be around top 50, top 60 prospect. So like last year, I probably would have given him like a 40 hit tool. I give him a 60 hit tool now. He has jacked his contact rate from last year. It was like 77. It was only 72.5 at AAA. He has an 84% contact rate now. His zone contact rate is at 90% this year. So he's just completely changed his hit tool from like a 40 to like a 55 or 60. Like it's a, it's like a plus hit. He's at a plus hit tool now. And he has also increased his EVs. So his EVs, he's got an 89.5 average EV, 105.1 90th, 110 max EV. So his EVs are higher from before. His pull rate, his barrel rate, 9.1% barrel rate, line drive rate, 32.6% line drive rate. So everything that he's doing right now is spot on. You don't have platoon issues with him, because guess what? He's hitting 320 against righties and 314 against lefties. So no Evan Carter platoon issues here with Dylan Beavers. The other thing that I love, if you look at bar chart on his launch angle distribution, he's very condensed in like the 10 to 30-ish range on launch angles. So he's got a 14 average launch angle, but he's really condensed in that spot. It's not like how I mentioned with Colson Montgomery, where it's just like all over the place, like the same height bar across the entire spectrum. Like it's like very condensed, and the EVs are all on the higher end, like on the bar chart too. So he's not like low, high, low, high. He's very consistent. He's been very consistent all year. The hit tool has improved. He already had the tools last year. Like he had power speed last year, 15 bombs, 31 steals with 40 extra base hits. It was just the hit tool, because he only had 240 last year. So now he's lowered the K rate, the hit tool is better, and we have a complete player at this point in time. Like he could be a complete five tool player. Like I don't know if he's going to be a superstar, but I think he's going to be like a really good all-star level player who could go 2025, right? 20, he could maybe go 2030. Like he's going to be a really good player, I think. Especially if that hit tool holds. If he can carry over what he's done with these contact rates into the majors, he's going to be a very good player.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And this is a guy that's always walked at a good clip, and he's been very consistent with the walk rates too. He was 13.3% walk rate in 2023, 12.8% last year, 13.2% this year. As you mentioned, the K rate, which was never bad. He was actually, you know, around 22-23% K rate. It's down to 17.5% this year, you know, while increasing the contact skill. So yeah, it's above average to plus approach right now. There's above average contact skills. Like nothing in the profile, like I think it's going to like stand out or be like, you know, plus or better, but he could just be, you know, 55 across the board, maybe more so 50 power. Like I don't think he's going to be more than like a low 20s home run guy, but I think he definitely could be like the upper teens, low 20s home runs, 20 plus steals. You know, he's above average or better runner, you know, with a solid average and OBP as well. I mean, you know, kind of what I was thinking about Jacob Melton, who I think is underrated as well. Obviously, he was now, you know, been contributing up in Houston a little bit. Oh, he's playing in Houston, I should say. But yeah, I think Dillon Beavers is really undervalued right now, and a very strong dynasty buy for sure. And maybe even see him later this year. Hopefully he gets a cup of coffee end of the year. Maybe he's a starter for them next year. We shall see. Who knows with Baltimore? You know, as you mentioned, that's been kind of inconsistent with how they deal with their prospects lately. So who knows when we see him, but should be soon. All right, let's keep it right in the American League East and go to, I think you could say that this guy is the most polarizing prospect right now. That's Spencer Jones with the New York Yankees. 24 years old, got the AAA about a week and a half ago, already has, you know, a few bombs up in AAA. Overall this year, 19 home runs, 12 steals in 56 games. Actually hit home run number 20 today, so he has 4 home runs in 8 games at the AAA level. And it was like, you know, I think it was like 445 feet or whatever. He doesn't hit cheapos. He's, you know, what I like to call big boy power there from Spencer Jones, and something I've seen live on many occasions. I've seen him hit absolute moonshot of a home run last year when I saw him in New Hampshire. But yeah, Jones, huge power. You know, good athlete too. I mean, that gets lost with the massive power that, you know, he's a above average to plus runner. I mean, he's huge, 6'7", 240. You don't think he's going to be a good speed guy, but, you know, he's got speed. So the potential is here for like 35 to 40 home runs and, you know, 15 to 20 steals. However, then you see the 33% strikeout rate and you see the below 60% contact rate. It's just rough and low zone contact rate as well. So I don't know, Tim, where are you at on Spencer Jones here? Because, you know, I think there's maybe the widest range of outcomes that we can see for a prospect right now, where you see an all-star bat there potentially if the contact skills are at least somewhat passable, and you'll see a guy that could be the next, like, you know, Will Benson, Aristides Aquino, you know, insert whatever big power name that just couldn't make enough contact hitter here. So where do you fall on the Spencer Jones range?
That's the scare, right? The scare is that he's Joey Gallo, because yeah. I had him ranked at 28 overall preseason, and then I dropped him down to 72. And I think I'm still like one of the higher guys on him at 72. Like, I think when I had Blessing on, Blessing's like, oh, Spencer Jones is not even anywhere near my top 100. I'm pretty sure he mentioned that, just because he's like so volatile. But right. I mean, like, you look at the contact rates and you're like under 60% contact. Like, even now, he's smashing right now, but his contact rate, like at AAA, he's hitting .393 in 35. It's only 35 plate appearances, so a small sample size, but he's hitting .393. So you're like, oh, he's got to be making contact if he's hitting almost 400, but his contact rate is still 57%, and his zone contact rate is still 61%. So he's still terrible at making contact. He's just, he has enough power, and he's like just aggressive enough in the zone that he's making it work. Like this profile here, like he would be lucky to have Deylison De Los Santos's like contact tool even. Like, it's just bad. It's so bad. Like, is it 30 tool even? Like, that's where I'm at. Is it even a 30 tool hit tool? Like, that's what we need to find out, because like he's got 70 grade power and he's got 55 speed, whatever. Like, he's gonna steal some bags. But it's just like, is the contact tool even like, is he gonna touch the ball enough for his power to play up? I saw him in spring training a couple times, and I don't think he touched the ball one time. Like, I did not even hear what the ball sounded like off the bat, because he just swung and missed every single time. Yeah. But there's also splits here. So like, if you look at splits for Spencer Jones, this might actually be something that the Yankees could play with to kind of like warm him into the league when they do finally bring him up. Against righties, he's hitting .311, .411, .665. With 16 of his bombs. Against lefties, he's hitting .214, .377, .476. The K rate is closer to 40% than 30% with lefties. I mean, it's still pretty bad against righties, but I think it might be like the smooth, easy play for the Yankees to say, okay, let's just kind of like ease you in here, you know, give you some nice easy righties, some guys with some meatballs. We're not going to throw you, you know, have you pitch or, you know, have you hit against, you know, an ace here. Let's just let you hit against Charlie Morton or something for a little bit. Just kind of warm him in before you throw him to the wolves. Because I just don't know if this contact's going to play. And it's like, it might for a couple of years. You might get like a couple of years or, you know, a couple months or whatever of greatness. And you're just like, oh my God, look at this guy. But yep. Then at the end of the day, it's just going to be, I feel like it's just going to be such a volatile player. Like, will he be Joey Gallo? Will he be Aaron Judge? It's like, he's just like Aaron Judge also, remember, had these same concerns when he was coming up, right? Like Aaron Judge was not Aaron Judge when he was a prospect. It's like, okay, this guy has a ton of power. He's a huge man. And he has a lot of swing and miss. Can he make it work? And he did. So hopefully, you know, like if you think about it, maybe Spencer Jones needs to go hang out with Aaron Judge for a little bit and he can, you know, just go to the batting cage every day with those two guys, make him roommate, like have him move into Aaron Judge's home for a little bit. I don't know. Like just whatever they could do to make it work, because like right. If it works, he's going to be a superstar. So like your range of outcomes here on this player is just so ridiculous. It's from like quadruple A guy to superstar. Nobody knows. Yeah. Throw the dice.
Yeah, that's yeah, absolutely true right there. And what I've thought with Jones is that if you just give me like 40 grade, he can make it work. Like I'm not even asking for 50. I mean, 50 would be great, but I think that's that's never going to happen. But if you just give me like 66, 67% contact with like mid 70% zone, I think that would even work. That's still not great metrics right there, but we're talking about, a zone that's under 70 and, overall that's below 60. So that's just not going to make it work. I mean, he's fun and the numbers have been gaudy for the most part, but yeah, I don't see it working right now unless there's a somewhat of a step forward in the contact department, which hasn't really happened yet. But I want you to guess, what do you think? Obviously this was entering today, first seven games, AAA. What do you think his BABIP was, Tim, in AAA entering today?
Oh, 360.
533.
It's crazy.
533 for the year. He has a 385 BABIP, and then 533. Again, seven. It was seven games, so
yeah,
it's kind of funny. I just you don't really see a 533 BABIP that often on Fangraphs, but yeah, who knows? I mean, obviously, as a Red Sox fan, I selfishly don't want him to be great, but I know the potential's there. So it'll be fun to see how this goes, especially when he debuts either later this year or early 2026. It's gonna be fun one way or the other. And we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I am more so not targeting Jones in Dynasty League. So, all right.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's rough.
It's tough too. I mean, you want to, it's fun, but your brain, the brain and the heart kind of go different ways with Spencer Jones. All right. Two more here. We got Justin Crawford here with the Philadelphia Phillies, who couldn't be more different than Spencer Jones. Crawford, obviously son of Carl Crawford, which again makes you feel old that all these, I rostered his father in fantasy, back in 2007 or whatever. And now I'm ranking his son. I was 21 years old. Won't be 22 until January of next year. Now having a pretty good year. It doesn't really get talked about a lot, but having a pretty good year, AAA, Lehigh Valley, 343, 416, 451 slash line, two bombs, 54 runs scored, 26 steals, 11.4% walk rate, 17.4% K rate. He does have the good contact skills. He's near 90% zone, 82% overall, and obviously an elite, double plus or better runner, but a guy that I just don't see him hitting for a ton of home runs. There is power there. It's not like he's lacks power in general, because you look at, he actually has a EV of 90.2 miles an hour, 44.7% hard hit rate, but only a 3.7% barrel rate, because he just hits really everything into the ground. He's got a 60.6% ground ball rate this year. Last year was 60.9%. 2023 was near 70%. He's been above 60% literally every level he's ever been at. So maybe he could be like a 12-15 homer guy if he lifted a bit more, but I just don't see that happening. It's been consistently super high ground ball rate. So at this point, I can't really project him to be more than like a 5-8 homer guy, but maybe he gets to it more in games moving forward if he can lift it a bit more. But even if he's not a huge power guy or even a 15 homer guy, I mean, this could be 40 steals, high average, good OBP as well. You know, but these guys, we've seen all these guys. We've seen the Victor Scotts of the world, the Ruizes of the world, you know, so it's a really polarizing profile in general that not a lot of people are, you know, in on. And a lot of people are like that. Some people don't, kind of a hard profile to value long term. But, you know, where do you fall on Justin Crawford? Is he a guy that you're looking to target here moving forward?
Yeah, I've got him ranked in my top 50 overall. I've got him as my number 14 outfielder, and I think he's up relatively soon.
I do too. Yeah,
he could be up. He could be up before the deadline. Like he's probably up this month. So I think he's up pretty soon. So there's proximity play here. But you mentioned Victor Scott. We just saw Chandler Simpson. We saw Esteban Ruiz. People are going to be burned out on this type of guy because of them. But he's not them. He's got like all the best of all their tools rolled into one. As far as like fantasy goes, he has a better hit tool than all those guys. He has higher EVs than all those guys.
Oh,
and
for sure.
He has the ability, like even though he hits the ball on the ground, it's actually probably a good thing because one of Victor Scott's, like I'm a Cardinals fan, but one of Victor Scott's flaws is almost not hitting the ball on the ground enough. Because Victor Scott, it was hitting the ball, fly ball 40% last year, which is why he was so bad. This year, he's actually doing better about hit, like he only has a 33% fly ball rate. And like, I mean, like if you're not going to hit homers, you don't want to be hitting the ball in the air. You want to be hitting the ball on the ground or you want to be hitting line drives. And he's got a 25% line drive rate, Justin Crawford. So despite, you know, a 57% ground ball rate, he is hitting line drives. He does have gap power. He does have 22 extra base hits on the season. So it's not like a nothing burger in power here. Like he's a doubles hitter, right? Right now he's a doubles hitter who has a ton of speed. And the fact that he's hitting the ball on the ground is good because it's allowing him to use his speed to get on base and run up a crazy batting average. So I think you probably have like a 280 or 290 hitter here. And even if these angles are maintained into the majors, maybe he only hits like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 home runs. That's okay if he's giving you also 35 doubles and he's getting on base enough to give you 40 plus steals. Because you're getting batting average and you're getting steals. So I think that's good. This is actually like what you want in a rabbit. Like if you're going to draft this type of player, this is the ideal outcome is Justin Crawford. Like this is that type of guy. He's like the primo of all those types of things rolled into one. So if you were trying to get someone, you know, that type of player with Victor Scott and Chandler Simpson and you missed out, like Justin Crawford can do it better than all those guys. Like he's just this, he's a way safer version of all those guys.
And he'll be going into a very good lineup, a good hitter's park as well. I mean, I know they've been, you know, they've Schwarber up at the top of his high OBP, but imagine if, you know, it won't happen in, you know, this year, obviously, but maybe down the road, you know, Crawford could be a pretty good leadoff guy in front of some big boppers. You know, who knows who's still going to be there at that point in time. Though Harper will be, but, you know, the Phillies always have, simply they always have some good boppers in the middle of that lineup. So, you know, I think he could be a guy that gives you a ton of runs scored, given how much he gets on base, you know, stolen bases that kind of advance him up. You know, you mentioned he's going to be, you know, a guy that probably hits, you know, maybe 35, 40 doubles a year. Yeah, I like this profile a lot. And I've been probably a little too low in my ranking of him. I've been moving him up lately. But, you know, this is a really good all-around profile. And like I said, if he does even start tapping into that power a little bit more and, you know, hits a little, you know, few more line drives and fly balls and, you know, maybe gets the ground ball rate closer to 50%, which I think would still be fine for him. Gets up to like 12 to 15 home runs. Now, I think if everything clicks, and again, I hate comps, but if everything clicks, maybe it's like a poor man's Jaron Duran or something like that. You know, I can see that. And Duran, I saw, you know, a lot coming up through and, you know, big speed guy, you know, power kind of developed more late in his prospect career, kind of like Justin Crawford's has over the last year or two. So not quite as fast as, you know, Crawford is overall, but you know, obviously Duran's very fast in his own right. But yeah, I like Crawford a good bit here. Yeah, I agree. I do think he's up pretty soon here. I mean, look at, you know, let's look at the Phillies depth chart here super quick. See, they got, yeah, because Brandon Marsh has been starting against righties. You know, it's really a platoon of Marsh and Johan Rojas in center field. So, I mean, do they keep rolling with that, you know, moving forward? I mean, that's not terrible, I guess, but it's not great either. you know, Marsh and Rojas are kind of probably better suited as like fourth outfield type. So maybe they're like, hey, let's, you know, give Crawford a look here into the season, see what we got with him. Because obviously he's one of their top prospects with a bright future. So yeah, I think Crawford's a solid buy right now as well. Last name here, going to the Cubs, who I just love the Cubs, both major league guys and minor league guys. A lot of fun guys to talk about in the Cubs organization. And one of those guys definitely is Owen Casey. Feels like Casey should be older than he is. He's 22 years old, but I feel like I've been talking about him for a long, long time now because he was in my 2021 FYPD rankings. But this year, 273, 382, 551 slash line with a 14% walk rate, 30.5% strikeout rate, 16 home runs, 3 steals, and 301 plate appearances. And the power is, you know, absolutely there with Casey. It's a 52% hard hit rate, near 20% barrel rate. You know, he's among the AAA leaders in both of those marks, but it's below average contact. Not terrible, though. It's not anywhere near Spencer Jones. You know, he's around 78% zone and 69% overall. So, plus, you know, the higher K rate, which has always kind of been there. He's always been in that vicinity of 30%. So moving forward, you know, I think he's more of like a 240 ish hitter, but could be like a 25-30 homer bat. I mean, maybe he's a, you know, poor man's Nick Castellanos, something like that. You know, I think that could be an outcome, though. I think Castellanos is a better contact hitter than Casey has a potential to be, but, you know, definitely love the power here. You know, he could run a little bit. Maybe guy gives you a 5-6-7 steal, something like that, but I just don't think the average is going to be super high. You know, maybe more valuable in OBP formats, though, because he's always been pretty solid walk rate guy as well. And, you know, 14% this year, 13% last year, 14.5% in 2023. So I think if you're in OBP formats, you'll definitely be a guy that has a bit more value there. I mean, he's a 382 OBP this year, 375 last year, 398 year before that. So always been a high OBP, high walk rate guy. But I'm not super, you know, in on the, you know, the average here. So that's why I've been probably a little bit lower than most on Casey, but he's always been like back at top 100 or so for me over the last year or two. But where are you at on Mr. Owen Casey, Tim?
Yeah, I've got him at 118, so I'm pretty similar range as you. You know, he's always hit the crap out of the ball. That's
Howard's always been there. Yeah,
every single year, and his angles are insane this year. Like, it just he's really on one right now. He's on a heater. 4 bombs last week for Casey, and just all the angles are right. So everything he's doing right now is right, and it's actually good for him, and it's good for the Cubs. Because there's a lot of talk out there that he's going to get traded, you know, when the Cubs try to do something. He's like the guy that they're going to dangle out there, right? So, like, I mean, whether that's him or Alcantara, like, the Cubs have a lot of guys that are kind of like right on the periphery of being called up, and they don't have the room, especially in the outfield. So, you know, he could get moved for somebody in the offseason and then come right in. The issue I have with Casey, again, I keep bringing it up, is just like there's major split concern here with him. He's terrible against lefties. He mashes righties. 299, 392, 609 slash against righties with 13 bombs. But against lefties, he's hitting, and this is not a small sample size. This is in 74 plate appearances. So it's like it's a decent chunk. 186, 351, 356 slash. So really bad against lefties. So there's definitely some split platoony concerns here with Casey long term. If he can work that out, I mean, he hits the ball hard enough that it might not be a thing. He also still walks against lefties. So he still has like an 18% walk rate, despite like the terrible batting average. Like his eye is still good enough because he does have a good eye. He's one of these guys that has a good eye and walks a bunch, but then also K's a bunch. So like, you're totally getting three true outcomes here. Like, you're totally going to get with him like a Max Muncy-ish profile ultimately. You know, maybe there's, because he's a little more athletic than Max Muncy. So maybe you get like a little more juice out of the batting average just because he's going to run more stuff out. But like, you could totally get like a Max Muncy type profile here, but he just can't hit lefties, at least not yet. It may come, but not yet.
Yeah, definitely. He's another guy, not as much of a wide range of outcomes as Spencer Jones, but I think there's a pretty wide range for Owen Casey as well. But yeah, I think the Cubs would be silly to not look to deal from some of their, you know, especially their outfield prospects, whether it's Casey or Alcantara, or maybe even Jonathan Long, who I'm very high on as well. But you know, it's funny. You look at their depth chart. They just don't play their bench guys at all. Like the last week, Reese McGuire's gotten in there twice for Carson Kelly at catcher, but the other three bench guys, Justin Turner, John Birdie, and Vidal Brujan, have not played whatsoever. It's been like the same starting nine outside of the, you know, the catcher basically the entire week. So not really any spot right now outside of an injury, even for Long, you know, because Bush is hitting well at first base. You got Happ, Tucker, PCA in that outfield, Suzuki at DH. They're pretty set everywhere, but they could use another pitcher to go with, like, you know, Boyd and Imanaga. If you can get another good guy in there, I think the Cubs could be really dangerous this year. And, you know, maybe we see Casey or Alcantara or Long or whoever, you know, dealt away for, you know, maybe it's Sandy Alcantara. Who knows? I don't know who they're going to go get.
Gallen. You know, maybe there's Gallen or Merrill Kelly rumors.
Yeah, maybe. You know, yeah. I think they would serve well to go out and get another arm and trade from their outfield prospects. But we shall see. We got, what, about another three and a half or so weeks until the deadline, which I think is going to be a pretty fun one. But all right, that will wrap us up. You know, Tim, thanks for joining me. This was a lot of fun. What do you got going on right now?
Oh, just released all my rankings for positions. And it took me, like, I don't know, a couple weeks to just go through them all. So I did, like, position ranking releases after I did my last update. My next update's going to be in August sometime. I say sometime because I have baby number 5 on the way in August sometime.
Congratulations, man. Babies.
Thank you. So it's a baby, so you never know when they're going to come. I think the last one came like a week early, so it's like whatever. So we'll see. We'll see when I can get them out, but it'll be like probably the middle of August sometime is when I get my next rankings update out. In the meantime, I've got the podcast going where I'm doing my weekly like T10. Basically, I've continued what I did with Welsh on Pete. We did the P10s last year, so I just kind of did the T10s this year on Fantasy Aceball. So if you want to check out like the top 10 guys that I have each week, some of them are hot guys, some of them are most of them are guys that are doing something good on the good side. I try to stay away from like the negative, so it's mostly positive things. And also I have the article on Fantasy Pros comes out every week for like basically it's a larger version of that T10 where it's like here's all the best players for the week at each level.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, definitely go check out all of Tim's stuff. Again, you can follow him on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Fantasy Aceball. Check out the podcast as well. I'll be back with you again later this week, another second episode going over my Dynasty rankings update, which again, I think will be on Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. See when I get it finished. But until then, everyone take care.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.